In the previous video in this authentication series, we saw how to create a database and then populate that database of our choosing with the membership schema, then use that membership schema from our application. In this video, we're going to take a look at changing the default settings for the membership schema to meet the specific needs of our application. So the first thing we're going to do is override the machine.config file in our web.config so that we can sort of do our own thing with membership. So let's go out and find the machine.config file. So we're going to go to Windows, Microsoft.net, framework, version, we want the 2.0 version, config, and here's our machine.config file. And let's go ahead and open a copy. Now, we're going to use the for the purposes of this demo, we've already seen how to configure the membership schema in any database that you want. So I'm just going to use a local SQL Express database. But what we want to do here is I want to scroll down, and I want to find the SQL membership provider. I'm going to grab that. And I'm going to copy it and paste it into the system.web section of my web.config file. Now, I'm going to use the same default connection, so I'm going to have a connection string that points to a SQL Express database in my app underscore data folder. So we're going to go ahead and use the default one that's provided and inherited from the machine.config file. But we're going to create our own instance of the ASP.NET membership provider. So we either need to provide a different name here, or we need to remove and recreate the name so that we don't have a naming collision between our machine.config and our web.config. So I'm going to go ahead and say remove name ASP.NET SQL membership provider, and then I'm going to go ahead and add it in, and it's this local version that we're going to manipulate. So let's go ahead and format the attributes of this particular web.config XML element. Now note that we're using the same connection string that we're picking up from the web.config file. If I wanted to be using the centralized version that we created in the previous video, I would use the connection string that pointed to that default SQL instance. In our case, not necessary because we're happy to use the defaults. For the connection string, we're just going to specify some particular details about how the provider is going to work. So notice here that we have all these settings that are accessible to us. So name, this is the assembly that we're going to use, the connection string. Enable password retrieval equal to false. Now, one of the things to remember is that password retrieval has to be set to equal to false unless you set the password, the format to encrypted, because or clear, which I don't recommend that you do, but I'll demonstrate it. So if it's hashed, that means that the actual value, the encrypted value of the password that's entered, isn't actually stored in the database. So there's nothing to retrieve, has to be set to false. Enable password reset is equal to true, so the user can request that their password gets reset. Requires question and answer. So remember when we created an account, the user was required to answer to enter a question and an answer, and that would be used for password reset or password retrieval. Application name. So we're just going to use the default here, but you could specify an application name so that you can associate application users with particular applications. Requires unique email equal false. Password format hashed. All right, so the values are hashed, encrypted, or clear. And while you probably don't ever want to use clear, I'm going to use it here just to show you how it affects the data that's stored in the underlying schema, since you can't just look at a hash value or an encrypted password and make sense of what's going on without rehashing or decrypting. So I'm going to set that to clear. You probably don't want to use that in your production application, but you may choose to switch between hashed and encrypted depending on what the needs of your application are. Max invalid password attempts. This is how many password attempts are allowed before the user gets locked out and some administrative action is required to for them to be reactivated. And that makes sense to mitigate denial of service attacks or brute force or dictionary attacks, by which someone who acquires the username will just write a little script that will continually try different passwords until you get a hit. Minimum required password length. This says that minimum required non-alphanumeric characters is equal to 1. I'm going to set that to 0. So I'm decreasing the security for this particular password. I don't necessarily recommend that you do that in your production app. I'm just doing it for the purposes of demonstrating the demonstrating how these configuration settings affect what gets stored in the database. Password attempt windows, the number of seconds in between attempts for counting the unsuccessful attempts. Password strength, regular expression. If I want to, and often I do, provide a regular expression that needs to be satisfied before the password that the user is entering to create a new account will be accepted. That's a great feature that's available to know about. So I've made those changes. The two changes that I've made to the defaults here are, I said we don't need to use any alphanumeric characters, and we're going to store the password format in clear text. Now let's go ahead and go to ASP.NET configuration. And if you've watched the previous videos in this ASP.NET authentication series, you've gone through this process with me before. If we look at provider configuration, right, so notice we're still using that ASP.NET SQL provider, but let's go over to security and create a new user. And so here we're going to say my user is Joe Stagner. I'm going to enter just the word password. And if you watch the other videos in this authentication series, you remember that just the word password wasn't accepted because we got an error message saying at least one non-alphanumeric character was required. Right. And here I would just put the standard question's favorite color, equal black. Now I'll say create user. Notice successfully created, so it accepted that password, the word password, without a non-alphanumeric character. Now let's go ahead and refresh here this folder, and we can have a look at our membership repository. So if we go into tables view here, and we go ahead and look at the data for membership table, thing to notice here is, notice now we no longer have a hash value in the password field, but in fact, we just have the word password stored in clear text. So here's proof that we didn't have to use the salting value, we didn't encrypt the password, because our setting in our web.config file was to use clear text, and because we didn't require any alphanumeric characters, we were allowed to just enter the word password, and it's stored in the database just as we entered it in the text box. And again, I don't recommend that you do this. I'm doing this just for demonstration purposes so that we can see the effect that those changes are having in the actual data that gets stored. But hopefully this now will get you started at looking at the various attributes that are available when we're creating a membership provider. And now you know both how to relocate the membership provider and connect to it from your application, as well as how to increase or decrease the security of that membership provider based on the specific needs of your application. ¶¶